If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is brought to you by Safe Ireland and Airbnb, working in partnership to support domestic violence survivors across Ireland. Welcome back to the Women's Podcast. I'm Roisin Ingle. Well, how did you get on over the Christmas? I hope it was a great relaxing break and nobody burnt the turkey and the dog didn't eat all the roses from the tin and you got some nice presents from people you love. And I hope you all managed to get out as well and out and kind of have a good walk around and just really relax. That's what my hope is for you. And on the podcast today, we're still in Christmas mode. We're having a little belated Christmas party. And what we're going to do is we're going to look back over the year for Ireland, for the world and for the Women's Podcast with my co-host Cathy Sheridan and my co-producers Jennifer Ryan and Suzanne Brennan. So what happened was we all sat around my kitchen table and it was all above board in terms of restrictions. And we had a little look back at 2021 and also a look ahead to 2022 and what will be going on there and the things we're looking forward to. There was some champagne, there was chocolate, and there was some homemade pecan cookies that my daughters had made. And it was really lovely to see my Women's Podcast colleagues again and actually interact with them in real life. And hopefully there'll be a lot more of that in 2022. But for now, we really hope you enjoy this Women's Podcast Christmas party. Well, welcome, fellow podcast women. We decided we were going to have a little bit of a Christmas party, a post-Christmas party, to discuss the year that's just gone, the very interesting year, as the last one before that was, and to discuss the year ahead, and also just to talk about some highlights in terms of the Women's Podcast, but also highlights of our own lives and the lowlights as well. Anyway, you're all in my house. I'm very glad you're here. Hello, Suzanne Brennan.
Hello.
I'm Jenny Ryan.
Hi.
Jennifer Ryan, to use your professional name. And Cathy Sheridan, co-host extraordinaire.
I can't tell you how delighted I am to be meeting people in the flesh. I'm still not over the thrill of that.
I know, it's very exciting. I better set the scene. We have a little bit of champagne here. Clink, 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 clink. Happy nearly New Year. And we have some bit of smoked salmon on some lovely sourdough bread. I must put a plug out, actually. My friend has just started a business called Bread Man Walking. And he's in Rialto, if anyone's near there. And he's the most beautiful sourdough bread. So it's there with some smoked salmon. It's a bit of Comté cheese, you know, only the best for you guys.
And we've got some cookies from your two girls.
Yeah, yeah. Joy and Priya have been banished. Johnny's in the bedroom. The girls are in the
cookroom. Tea made by Johnny.
Yeah. And so we're here and we're going to talk about the year. And we're going to start by actually looking back over the podcast year. And I want to just ask you all for your favourite episode that we worked on this year and to tell us why it is. So I'm going to come to you first, Jennifer.
Well, I picked two, but I'm going to go with the bigger one first.
Better
in my
not
mind.
Be mine.
Well, no, I don't think it will be because it was Sinead O'Connor. And it was amazing.
I've got nothing against her.
Well, I think it's because I got to be Roisin's sidekick for that day. And we went to an undisclosed location in the countryside, which is where Sinead was living at the time. And Roisin spoke to her for like almost 2 hours. And the aforementioned Johnny and girls were driving around the place waiting for her to finish her chatting. And it kept going on and on and on and just got better and better and better. So I wouldn't have dared say stop. But it was just such a privilege to be in her home and to, you know, that old saying, never meet your heroes, doesn't apply in this situation. She was so cool, warm, funny. And it was, I think, my favourite interview of the year. It was just, I just really enjoyed being there and the finished product was great as well.
Yeah, well, it was actually going to be mine as well. But I think that's okay because it was very much the two of us there. Like we both drove down to her house. Like you say, the girls and Johnny were banished out to have a picnic. I did give them provisions, but they went off. And they were waiting outside for an hour because I told them it was only going to be an hour because that's what we were told.
Yeah,
but then Sinead was just very chatty. So, and it was extraordinary because at the end,
I said to Sinead, oh my God, well, thank you so much for everything. But I have two children outside because my kids are not very forgiving of me in a lot of cases because they say I'm, you know, a bit of a messer. But they, I said, would you mind coming out? Because if they see you, Sinead O'Connor, coming out, they're not going to be able to give out to me for making them wait an hour. So out they came. And they were just completely like, oh my God, because we'd been playing Nothing Compares to You and all the songs on the way down on the drive. So they were like, oh, here she is. And then they sang Danny Boy for her. And then I took a little picture of the three of them together. Aww. It was amazing. And I think we did get an interview with Sinead because I've listened to all of them. And I think, you know, she really opened up to us and it was just wonderful to have it. And to be, you know, she had said she wanted us to do the interview, which was really a real testament to us as well. I thought that was really cool. So I second that emotion there, Jennifer.
The Elizabeth Day one I wanted to mention as well, because just because mainly I want to insert a clip of it into the podcast today, because it was Roisin's best moment on the podcast, I think, because Roisin got her with this joke. And I think we should just play it now.
One more thing about failure. I'm going to read you a quote. You have to guess who said it, okay?
Okay.
One of the biggest drivers of success, perhaps paradoxically, is being comfortable with failure. Most of us fail at some point and it's okay if you do. If you've learned something and worked with some great people, it's still incredibly valuable. The key thing is to make sure you know what you're learning and enjoy the journey.
Okay, great quote. Is it, okay, I've got a couple of ideas.
Have you?
I don't think it's Brené Brown.
No.
But I'm going to put, no. Is it a tech guy? Is it like a Mark Zuckerberg?
No,
it
it's a tech guy called Justin Bassini.
Oh, is it Justin Bassini? Oh my gosh, that's amazing. That is the best thing that has ever happened to me in an interview.
That's your husband.
You are very, very clever.
That was a brilliant moment. And actually, Elizabeth Day was one of my favourites as well, just because she's incredible. And I loved her book, Magpie. And if anyone's still looking for books to read, it's such a great thriller. And she's just an incredible journalist and woman. And her podcast is fantastic. So, yeah, we've had some great people on this year. So that was brilliant. So you've basically taken both of mine.
Sorry.
So I'm going to say my work is done and move on to Cathy Sheridan. Your favourite episode?
Okay, well, this is actually sort of, I'm afraid, quite pedestrian compared with those two extraordinary celebrities that you had in tow, the two of you. But actually, one of the things I remember about this year and last year is how much I came to loathe Zoom. Mm. But the weird thing is our older and bolder episode, our 500th episode, actually almost swung me back around again because it was fantastic. It was emotional. I found it very moving in parts. Olivia O'Leary, Hilary Fannin, Rosalind McDonough, Ali O'Rourke. It was just one after the other, a procession of amazing women. And I also felt as a podcast, it worked extremely well, which is one of the other reason I chose it. I felt it was one of those times when I felt Zoom actually did what you dreamed it might do. It felt very engaging and was seamless. Yeah. And nobody's tech went down.
Surprisingly, yeah.
Surprisingly. Mine always does, I'm afraid.
She's mostly talking about herself.
I'm afraid I am.
I'll be talking about when that come to my lowlights of the year later.
Oh, thank you very much indeed, because you did take over that other occasion, which we will not mention ever again. I want to mention another one, Roisin, where I thought you shone, and it sounds like nepotism, but it really isn't. It was one you did a few weeks ago, and you interviewed a number of people who were involved in the production of the Irish Youth Foundation Threads. And one of the women you talked to was a young traveller girl called Ellen, who was 18 years old. Mm. And it was strikingly wonderful.
Oh.
It really was. You both got the best out of one another, I felt. But also she was so fresh and so interesting, very much a member of the traveller community, but standing up against old traditions that she felt might be damaging, and was extremely generous towards her mentors and people who she reckoned had nudged her out of the way. She said, I'd be on the dole now if it wasn't for the Irish Youth Foundation. It was wonderful, and I want to congratulate you both on that one. Okay. And I think Ellen is a star of the future.
Absolutely. Well, it's funny because we'll come to talk about what we want to do more of on the podcast in the future, and that's something
she's
going to touch on.
She's absolutely on my list
Cathy's talking about nepotism because her lovely daughter, May Kay, was the presenter of this brilliant documentary series for the Irish Youth Foundation called A Stitch in Time, which some of you will have heard recently on that podcast that you're describing, and I think Mary-Kate...
I wasn't even going to mention her name.
But she did. No, but she did a fantastic job, and I have to say, it must be so great for you watching her blossom as a presenter and come out of maybe just the music sphere into this incredible... She's got such a human interest thing. She's got such connection with people, particularly young people. Mm. So I was really... I was proud on behalf of you just watching her. She was brilliant. So it was great to have them on. Okay, we'll come to you then. Suzanne Brennan, which was the podcast that got you going this year?
You know, I had a look back through and there was one that popped out to me that we did at the start of the year. And I kind of thought it was a subject that we would have forgotten about it, but it still resonates. And it was lockdown style. What have we become? Because
the state of us.
The state of us.
Like, the state of us.
Now,
yeah.
Looking at me today, I'm wearing clothes. But I know. This doesn't happen that often. And we did that. It was in the first 3 months of the year. So we had Erin McGathy on, we had Laura Kennedy, and we had Jen Hogan and yourself. And I think out of all of them, Jen Hogan was the one that actually said, yeah, I still wear makeup, I still put nice clothes on.
I know, we were all like shocked.
Yeah.
Why?
She was 14 children.
Yeah,
a million children. The busiest one out of all.
She's on all the programs.
Always don't be ashamed of yourselves.
And she puts lipstick on. I'm like, what is wrong with her?
So this was in the midst of like that long four months of lockdown. So I thought, come the summer, gonna buy loads of lovely clothes. I'm gonna be wearing nice dresses, and then into the winter, like I'll start wearing clothes again. Still happened. We're there 2 years later, and I can listen to that and go, "What have we become?" Because
I know,
it was
funny. Yeah. I know. Okay, the champagne is going down well. Now we decided we were going to do a couple of awards, and the first award we have is Woman of the Year. So, Cathy, coming to you, seeing as you're there with your more than one person, who are women that stood out for you this
year? Women that stood out for me was, and I know several of you agree with this, Katie Hannon for her Women of Honour documentary. And actually for the breadth of her work.
She's
unfailingly researched, informed, unaggressive, but at the same time dogged. She's one of those interviewers that I love listening to because she really sticks to her subject, doesn't let anybody away, but doesn't get irritating either. She is an amazing interview style.
Yeah, and I have to say, declaration, she's a friend of mine, but she's someone who over the years, the decades that I've known her, you know, she doesn't fly high in the kind of, she's not on the front of the RT guide or she's not in the Sunday Indo doing the things. But oh my God, you couldn't meet a harder working person or someone more passionate and dedicated to her craft of getting to the truth. Yeah. I mean, when you think about the whistleblower stuff she did before
that. The Garda McCabe stuff.
Exactly.
Incredible.
And that journalism takes so much time and careful reporting. And I'm in awe of her all the time.
An exquisite sensitivity.
Yeah.
Getting someone's trust and holding on to it through those months. I think it's something that a lot of people out there who give out about journalists do not appreciate. Mm. They don't see that dogged work that goes into getting somebody to trust you and staying trusting you and then actually putting their faces in front of a camera. That is no mean feat. It is astonishing.
And I think she won Tatler Woman of the Year journalist, didn't she?
She
for that. So it's lovely to see her recognised. Exactly.
Okay, can I get to mention another woman?
Yeah, yeah. Knock yourself out. This is the place to do that. Like,
this is
six pages.
Well, I have 6 pages of notes because I couldn't decide on any one day. I would also like to mention Helen McEntee, the Minister for Justice, for taking maternity leave at a time when most people don't in her position. I mean, I always remember that French minister who came back to work, having had a caesarean, I think, came back to work after 6 days. That's about 10 years ago, I think. But it was regarded as fantastic and she had pictures taken in very high heels and there was a madness about it that I felt Helen McEntee kind of corrected this year. And also because she is a politician and politicians are terrified of losing profile or of somebody better taking over. She had none of those fears. She just went and she took a maternity leave. Her husband is now at home, being the man in the house, which shouldn't be unusual. But the fact that this is being done by a young couple in our era, in this era, I just think is fantastic.
Well, can I also, I totally agree with you, can I also put a little plug in for something else on a side project that Suzanne and I are involved in, which is Winter Nights. And the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, is one of our guests on Winter Nights, which is coming up at the end of January. And there's tickets available on irishtimes.com/winternights. And Jennifer Bray is going to be interviewing her. And I think that's going to be fantastic.
It is.
Okay, anybody else?
Can I just mention, yeah, if you don't mind, I don't want to hog this.
Leave some women for the rest of us now.
Well, yes. Linda Doyle, who actually was on our podcast, Professor Linda Doyle, who became the first female provost of Trinity College this year and wears it lightly.
It was brilliant to see that.
Yes. And what she actually said was, I took down a quote, I want Trinity to be a public university that is fearless in its pursuit of a deep-rooted fairness. Let's hope that all plays out under Linda Doyle's tenure.
Excellent. And Cathy, I'm going to come to Jennifer now, but if any other women strike you, just feel free to throw them in. Jennifer, what about you, Women of the Year?
Yeah, because actually, well, Cathy touched on them there, which is I picked the collective of the Women of Honour because I just thought that that documentary that Katie Hannon did was unbelievable. Like, it was just so moving. It was the courage and bravery it took for those women to speak up and for them to have told a lot of these stories before many, many years ago, to have done that and to have that fall on deaf ears, basically nothing to be done about it for so long. And now for it to be brought out into the light, and Katie's role in that, of course, is unbelievable. But for those women, I can't imagine the bravery that it would have taken to tell your story back then, 20 years ago, and then to do it again. And hopefully, you know, things will change for the better as a result of that. So they're who I chose Women of the Year.
Excellent. And Suzanne, what about you?
So I've known Roisin and the Women's Podcast team coming up 2 years now. And Roisin said, do you know who I've just realised you look really like? Can you guess, actually, do you think who my famous doppelganger is?
Who is it?
Well, Roisin thinks I'm the doppelganger of Jacinda Ardern.
Yes!
Yeah. She's right!
Yeah. Yeah.
So. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah. Nice.
Anyway, so I think Jacinda Ardern, for me, is one of my Women of the Year. I do have a couple. She just played Blinder. And obviously what happened to New Zealand during this year, the fact that their strategy, they had to kind of pivot on it and, you know, work a new plan. They can't keep closed down forever. And she's just been so strong. And like her leadership is unbelievable. And then her latest step the other day where she's...
I know you were going to mention that.
Yeah. The other morning I woke up to the news that she's abolishing smoking. So New Zealand should be a smoke-free place by 2025. Or that people...
I didn't hear that.
Did you know?
No, she's abolishing smoking. Yeah. I was going to say something else. I'll tell you in a
minute. I think for under 14.
For under
14,
kind of phasing it. So she's phasing it out. So there will be a generation of kids who will be adults who will never have smoking be a part of their lives or have the opportunity. And I think that is... that is incredibly brave.
I missed that. But I was going to say that she was on a news thing the other day and she was asked about, can people have sex again? And she was basically more or less saying, yes, OGs can take place. Now, she was laughing. But she can go from that, you know. And also she's done incredible work on valuing the jobs like nurses and all of that, raising the money and looking at jobs and how they're... how they're paid and saying, is that the right way? So she's doing amazing work on that too. But she also has the crack. And then there was another little clip recently where her kids came into the room while she was doing an interview. And again, of course, she just handled that brilliantly. But I mean, she's someone we're dying to get on the podcast. We've sent her so many.
I know.
Jacinda, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on. Suzanne's a big fan. She looks very like you.
Yes. Her press officer, Penny, I'd say, hates seeing my email arrive. Yeah, Penny's like, way, will you?
See you later, Suzanne.
And can I also give a mention on the flip side of that is to someone who I think has just given such crack this year, and that's Joanne McNally.
Oh, here, here.
And like, I actually have lost count of how many Vicar Street
millions
shows she's selling. They're probably affected by the new regulations. Yeah. They might be in January. Yeah. Yeah. But for a woman to have done that, what no woman has done world. Before
Incredible.
In the comedy circus.
30 nights at Vicar Street.
Yes.
And I mean, amazing. I interviewed her this year, and oh, what a Well, the Zoom call was twice as long as what I could actually print. Let's just say that. There was a lot of it going. Now, off the record, Roisin, you know, so we had such a laugh. She's just wonderful. Yeah. And she holds it really lightly. Like, she's on the stratosphere now. Totally. Her podcast with Vogue Williams.
It's the best.
You know, my therapist ghosted me. Like, for a start, what a name for a podcast. Yeah. And she's just on fire. Yeah. And it is, I mean, Irish comedy has been dominated by men for so long. And we love Dara Breen and we love Tommy Tiernan and all those people. But to see a woman just, you know, that women want to go and laugh with. And
but it's also so important that women are making it in that world because it's a world that needs an invasion of women. Mm. And she has begun that. It needs a woman's hand in there.
Yeah.
It needs a woman's voice. And that culture needed to be blown apart. And my goodness, what a woman to do it.
If you ever go to her show and she has all the audience in the palm of her hand and it's women saying, finally, someone's talking about what I talk to my mates about. Yeah. Someone's talking about the juicy, you know, Tinder dates or what goes wrong, you know, with a guy. Like, we weren't getting that before, and I think she's just amazing.
She makes me laugh, even just to look at her. And she works so hard again, you know, she just puts so much into it. She also announced that she's going to have a book of essays with Penguin out next year as well. So something to look forward to when we come to. Yeah, she's doing
now. Can I just mention a few women who I won't go on about it, except that I have such admiration for these women. They're all in sport, weirdly. Now I'm not talking about Kelly Harrington. Huge shout out to Kelly Harrington.
My neighbour down the road.
Yeah, I'm actually talking about Naomi Osaka. I'm talking about Brienne Frost. Mm. I'm talking about Peng Shuai. Women who have really stood up to serious male power in their worlds, in their kind of small worlds. Brienne Frost absolutely amazes me. Imagine being in the weigh room among all those, that masculine, that testosterone pumping through the place, getting bullied and harassed, and that's now been confirmed. The guy got 18 months for, he's been suspended for 18 months. But the fact that she stood up and did that will make such a huge difference to the racing world. Peng Shuai, as you know, the blog post about a guy who was one of the seven ruling men of China. Imagine standing up to that and was then disappeared. And we're still not quite sure where she is or what's happened to her. So and Naomi Osaka, as you know, who just decided my mental health comes before press conferences. So I just wanted to mention those three because, oddly enough, they're all in the sports world, but have done extraordinarily courageous things outside of it.
And can I throw in Simone Biles as well and all the women of the Olympics during the year as well? Because she also, you know, she got to a point where she was like, no, I'm not going to do this because it's not good for me. And she stepped back and there was a big controversy. And it's wonderful to see women in sports saying, actually, I'm not going to sacrifice everything for this. Yeah. You know, I don't need to do that. And there's really, that's role model stuff, isn't it? Oh yeah, someone else I just did want to mention, and she doesn't need another award and she doesn't need any more people talking about her, but Sally Rooney. Like, what a year for Sally Rooney. And there she was with Beautiful World, Where Are You? Another woman I interviewed this year. And I do think that one thing that she's very keen on and that she's spoken about is how the fact that her as a young woman, you know, writing about her experiences and the experience of that generation has led to a massive interest from publishers in women and in young women writers. So I think she's very aware of that. And I think if you look around, you think of Nisha Dolan and you think of Megan Nolan, who also wrote a great book this year. And there's another brilliant book. I've read it. I got an advanced copy called None of This is Serious by Catherine Prasifka, who is the sister-in-law of Sally Rooney. And honestly, I loved it so much. And I think it's out early next year, I think, and well worth getting your hands on. But I suppose my point is, yes, Sally Rooney, the bucket hats, the pop-up shops, the hullabaloo, the hype, all the articles.
The backlash.
I think she has. And she's, you know, she's wherever she is with her husband, her new husband, writing and trying not to let that, you know, derail her from really, she just wants to write her books. And she has never bought into it or kind of gone down that road. And I do admire her a lot, but I also admire her for the fact that it's allowed people to see this as a valid thing that young women. The only thing is, I know this is the women's podcast, but there's been a bit of talk this year about where are all the men writers? Poor men writers. There's not much space. Any? Well, if you're a young man now and you've got
a long time, actually.
No, but you know the way every generation. Every
it's
generation.
Like that, it's like that English MP said that making women replace Doctor Who and James Bond is driving young men to crime. I mean, maybe that's what's happened.
But I would think if you're like 20 or 30 something man with an idea for a novel or even a novel finished, you're kind of There's not much.
Screwed.
Might have to, yeah. A little bit.
Well, that's because women read the majority of fiction.
Yeah.
And we've been reading mostly male written fiction.
But I hope it doesn't. I hope, I would like to say, I want to hear what young men have to say about this time in the world. I want to read novels by young men. And I don't think that necessarily it's a good thing if, you know, it's become such a cool thing that we only want to read women. I want to read. I want to hear. Like, I did really enjoy White City by Kevin Power, actually, this year. But most of the books I read this year have been by women, very noticeably.
Also, I was talking to a young woman recently. When I say young now, around your age.
Well,
your
three, not me, them two.
who was saying she would love to read a book because she's fascinated by this ghosting thing that goes on dating sites. And all of those things that she reckons is part of a male culture. Now, I know women do it, but she reckons a lot of men do it. And what is going on in their heads? Because it's so widespread. And she said she'd actually love to read a book from that perspective.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Because Dolly Alderton wrote a great book called Ghost, which is sort of, the premise of it is about being completely ghosted in the most extreme way.
This friend of mine might have been reacting to that, actually, saying she'd love to hear the male.
It would be really interesting to see the other side. So anyway, I think men should write books too. I think they should be very much allowed.
There should be space made for men to
write. They dominated for a long time, but that's no reason to kind of totally erase them from the discourse.
They shouldn't give up.
There's a clear gap in the market for men writing about ghosting. We want to know what you're thinking. Come on.
Okay, so we're going to look back at the year now in terms of a couple of things. We're going to talk about ourselves and our own lives, because I think we're still in the very pandemic times where a lot of us are still out of the office, and it's been, another challenging year. I mean, personally, I told my children, no, don't worry. I told them last Christmas, it'll all be over by Christmas. It'll be finished. You know, don't worry about that. And they've had to say to me, you lied to us. You know, it's like terrible, but I can't argue with them. I did tell them it was all going to be over, and now it's clearly not.
Ah, yeah, but don't we do that?
No, we do. I know, but I really did believe it when I said it. I wasn't just pretending. I thought it was going to be over. Yeah. So it's been a tough year, but I just thought we could talk about personal highlights of the year and lowlights of the year.
My personal highlights?
Yeah. What's happened for you this year that you have been pleased with, or that's given you a bit of joy?
I didn't have a great year, in all honesty. due to a couple of little health problems, which I'm now over. But the year was kind of dominated by that. My two girls bring me huge joy. My sisters bring me enormous joy. Actually, most of my family bring me enormous joy.
That's great.
Yeah. And I saw a lot of them this year, and they really rallied around when I needed them. For example, after I had surgery, I went to stay with one of my sisters, which I swore I would never do. I don't like staying in other people's houses, in all honesty. But I ended up going there.
Did you convalesce?
I did convalesce.
Great word, isn't it, convalesce?
I actually did convalesce. And I got over myself after about 10 minutes and really enjoyed convalescing in her house.
I'd love to do a bit of convalescing.
And it's funny, when I think back, we watched the morning show. We binge watched the morning show.
Love it.
So actually, I have nothing but... And the weather was beautiful. Mm. And I've actually, oddly enough, happy memories of that. Now you've got this from
See?
Me now.
Yeah.
That hadn't occurred to me. I have really happy memories of that convalescence. Thank you for asking. I actually, I do remember now, it was joyful.
And Kathy, so speaking of health and stuff, so you've come into contact with our health service then quite intimately and quite at various points. So what was your experience there? Because I haven't been inside a hospital, I don't think, through this whole time or barely in the door of a doctor. I've been lucky, touching wood all over the place.
Well, I had heart surgery. So I was in a very particular funnel, I suppose, within the Mater hospital system. And I didn't know so many people had heart problems. I mean, it was unbelievable. I was admitted the week when the cyber attack took place. Now, I was in the private section along with a lot of people who were in the public system, but a lot of people were being sent towards the private system, which actually really worked as far as I can see. But it was extraordinarily busy. Every ward was full, and the nursing is so intensive. But it worked very well. You didn't get a sense that there was a really odd world out there where there was a pandemic. And it was just, I find it amazing. And I've hit lucky also with the emergency departments and hospitals. I've never ended up in a situation where I was stuck in a queue for say, 12 hours. And I always want to say that to people. It isn't always something to be feared, the emergency departments and hospital. I worry that people don't go into emergency departments because they're terrified of the really terrible publicity, which is often deserved, as we know. Mm. But I have hit lucky. I think the trick is to go in the morning, actually.
That'd be my tip for 2022.
So if you're going to have an emergency,
yeah,
have it in the morning.
Do.
Top tip from Cathy Sheridan. Are you okay now, Cathy?
I am. Yeah.
Because that's a big thing. Heart stuff is, you know, the scary stuff, isn't it?
Mm, and it sort of came out of the blue, which was shocking. Because it's one area that I'd always thought, I mean, I've always thought I was a big, strong country woman. But in fact,
you just
can't rely on these. But I am. I'm fine now. And really, it all went like clockwork.
And the miracle that you can get an operation done on your heart and emerge and look at you, like, it is kind of amazing.
I actually had an aortic valve replacement, just to be precise about it. And the replacement is actually cow tissue.
Wow.
Yeah, bovine.
You're a country woman. You're more country than you ever.
I have more cow. I am a proper cow now.
It goes full circle.
Okay, I've had enough of talking about my health problems now. I'm part cow.
God, you'll get her heart all started now. You have to stop. Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us. And we, you know, we were worried about you, obviously, and you're a very stoic person, I think, is what you kind of batten down the hatches and you deal with things. But we were all thinking about you, and it's so great that you pulled through completely. And yeah, that you're here with us today in the house, drinking a tiny bit of champagne because she's driving.
And can I just, it's one of the reasons why I am so full of gratitude, actually, for sitting at this table.
Yeah.
And for the fun we have.
I know, we do have the crack. Brilliant.
Yeah, let everybody appreciate that. Jenny, appreciate, nothing else this year, let them appreciate
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Jenny, you've been healthy and well, and managing life.
My personal highlight is extremely frivolous in comparison to Cathy's. Because it was going on holidays with a couple of girlfriends quite recently. We got out of Dodge in November and we went to Tenerife for 5 nights. And it was just on the back of, I suppose, I had my second child just before the pandemic hit. Then at the time when I should have been having a really nice maternity leave, being surrounded by, like, you know, other mums in the same position as me and that kind of, like, you know, village that it takes when you have a little tiny baby, and not even being able to see my family down home. My mum got to see my son like twice, I think, in the first,
another country,
you know,
girl here, Cathy, Tipperary.
In the first year of his life, she saw him a handful of times. So it was really hard during the pandemic. And then it was back to work, and Suzanne and I work on lots of other podcasts, and it's just full throttle all the time.
What? Is this not your routine?
Can you believe this?
Unbelievable. Turncoats.
Anyway, all of this is a long story short of me trying to justify fleeing the coop and going away with two girlfriends, without the kids, without the husband, for 5 nights. And it was just amazing. It was... The weather was perfect, early 20s, good for an Irish country girl. I can't take any more than that. And we just lolled about and had great conversations and drank good wine and ate great food. And I was so, so grateful for that break. And I didn't even realise how much I needed it until I went on it. And the fond memories will stay with me for quite a while. I'll be dining out on it for a while.
And you know what's great, Jenny, is that we have next week's podcast it's on Nulugnamon, which is the, you know, little Christmas or women's Christmas, whatever. And we have a great woman called Paula Fiennes talking about the invisible job and the job that many women, all those jobs, like, I think there's something like she counted it up and it's 150 or more, and hundreds of things that people do that are totally invisible. And it's great that you did that, because you need to do it, and it's okay. And the world didn't fall apart, and your children are fine when you came back. Tell us your story of your little, you did a call once a day, didn't you?
I did. I did my video call around bedtime every evening. And on the first evening, I started getting a list from my darling husband of all the things that had gone wrong. Because in fairness to him, literally everything that could go wrong went wrong. There were temperatures. There were people sent home from creche early.
No. Sorry,
there were sick kids before school. There was, you name it.
You picked a great time to go away.
This is just what happens every single week.
To leave me, Jenny.
This is what happens every week, though. This is a litany of stuff that happens every week.
So you're telling you stuff that actually happens. Routinely.
He started to tell me in the evening about, and he had a temperature and then he puked all over the table. But, you know, and I was like, I'm just going to stop you there because I have to go downstairs because the wine is open and I'm actually on my holidays. So I'll tune in same time tomorrow and I'll say goodnight to everybody. And that's all I'll do.
Yeah, email
me. I'll hear everything when I get home. Bye-bye.
3 days.
out of office.
Is that him?
Yeah. Oh, oh,
would you
oh.
love that? The poor fella.
But I have other things to tell you.
No, it's not happening.
He's a great
Ring
man.
Your
He's a great
mother.
Man.
Thank you for that, Jenny. Oh, and Suzanne, you didn't get married again.
No, not again.
But something else happened that I think is probably your highlight. Because it's something that's not happening for a lot of people at the
moment.
Yeah,
and I we are very lucky. We bought a house this year. So we moved to Inchicore.
That is Inchicore. What a cool place. It's probably one of those, you know, world best place to live.
It is. It actually is. It's top of the list. Well, I think it's number 15 or so.
Number 15 in the world.
Yeah. What? Oh, sorry. All the residents sharing it in the WhatsApp group. Yeah, Dublin Ace made the top 15 in the world, best places to live. Now, I think that's a bit of a swizz because Dublin Ace, they've honestly never been to Dublin Ace, I'd say, either. There's about four places in Dublin Ace. It's Portobello, it's Inchicore, it's Kilmainham. Yeah. Like, you can't be squishing them all in. But yeah, it was a long road to get there. Cancelled wedding really helped. So, you know, if you're kind of tossing
Silver
up
lining.
The two,
yeah,
get the house. I know, like, the market is insane at the moment. And I don't envy anyone being back in it. I'd never want to be back in it ever again. So I'm going to be in Inchicore forever.
Inchicore for life.
Yeah,
maybe.
A
house in a box.
But Suzanne, I haven't been, because we, you know, we kind of listened to you on our Zoom calls over the year of, you know, the travails associated with it. And then the housing crisis is, you both work on other podcasts. on the politics podcast. So the housing crisis is constantly in your, you know, vista, and we're all thinking about it, and it's going to be a huge issue when the next election happens. And if you look at, like, Mary Lou seems destined to be a Taoiseach because Sinn Féin is being seen by your generation as the only people doing anything about it. So are you hearing all that from your peers, like people who haven't been as lucky as you and people who have got on the ladder or whatever?
Yeah, and actually one of the big things during the year was Dave McWilliams. So I don't know if you remember that article that he had. I'd mention this. David McWilliams said, had an article that went, did pretty well, and he had, did a podcast about it, and it was get out of the housing market immediately.
I think I sent it to you.
You did. Probably 10 people sent it. My mum, my friends. Cease and desist and get out of the housing market now and don't buy, because, you know, what's up for sale is houses in areas you don't want for prices you don't want to pay, but because there's such a shortage, you have to. Which is all well and good, you know, if you're Dave McWilliams.
Well, I think he also said don't build either. Don't get involved in building a house.
Yeah.
So I think really what he would like is everybody just to stay where they are right now, which is all very fine.
Yes,
really.
It is. Yeah, if you have the luxury of boycotting the housing market, then, you know, go ahead. But a lot of people don't have that option. So, yeah, it was tough, and you'd hear so much about it, and then you are thinking, you know, I'm paying over the price. I know my neighbours down the road probably paid a fraction of what we had to pay to live in the same place. So yeah, that is tough, you know.
That's hard. Is that hard to get past?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Sticks in your craw a bit, but then
I know. Can I just pick you up there on what you said about Sinn Féin? Sinn Féin have been in opposition.
Yeah.
They've never been in government.
No, I know.
So what they have a lot of proposals and ideas. But what I actually long to see them in government, to see what they will do. Because a huge part of the problem we have, obviously, is getting the building. It's, the money is there. That's the odd thing about all this that's happening. The money from the Exchequer is there. There are all kinds of organisations set up to push this on and on and on. So I'm kind of fascinated by what it'll take to get serious, a critical mass of housing built.
Yeah.
And I am looking forward to seeing how Sinn Féin affect that once they get into power.
You know, is it an inevitability, do you think? I mean, am I being kind of naive in that? Is it going to just totally happen?
Well, they'll need coalition partners. I think that's the bottom line, isn't it? And I presume they'll find people who will be happy to coalesce.
And I suppose it's an exciting time in Irish politics from that point of view, because we have had just the two, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, swapping it between them and sometimes sharing it all this time. And there's something good about someone else coming in. I suppose I'd have a few reservations as well, but I'll just throw in my personal highlight of the year, which is I turned 50. I got my 50th birthday this year. And, you know, I mean, it just confirmed what I always think. I'm not really I don't have a problem with aging. I'm not that kind of person. I know other people do, but yeah, I feel like really lucky, like, you know, being 50 and, you know, having a house and having my kids and a partner and a job that I love. And a big part of that is the Women's Podcast. And it was just really nice to have a birthday month where I tore the arse out of it. Look, there's a 50 still up there. That's from when my family came around. I put that, Johnny put that up, sign up, and the rest of it's gone.
You just got your birthday present of me.
Oh, I have a birthday
Suzanne.
Present from, yes, from you guys to open, which I'm looking forward to. But it did, you spoke about gratitude there, Kathy, and it did just make me really feel grateful for all the brilliant people in my life and for all the support I've had and for lots of people who've helped me on my way and all that kind of thing. And just to be alive and lucky that my mum's still alive. And speaking of my mum, another highlight was my mum publishing her book.
My God, seriously, yes.
Yeah, that was a really great time for our family just to be able to celebrate her and to be proud of her. And she was just so happy. And that book got her through the worst grim lockdown. Yeah. And then the publishing this year, she was nominated for 2 book awards. And in case she didn't win. Anyway, but, you know, that has been incredible too. And so, yeah, that was wonderful. And also one more personal highlight, just the continuation of the working from home business. Because that has changed my life. It's changed my partner's life. It's allowed us to be better parents and better partners to each other and have our quality of life has increased to a degree that, you know, if my boss is listening, like, I never want to go back to the office. Hopefully that they are listening. But, you know, and I think for a lot of women, as much as we've seen a lot of women have to leave the workforce because they couldn't cope with, say, the homeschooling and all that stuff, I think that flexibility that it allows where, you know, you can accommodate your kid having to go to a dental appointment without taking a half day or a day off and all those things, they pile up so much. And there's not a day goes by when one of us, me or Johnny, doesn't say to each other, "Oh my God, like, isn't this amazing?" It happens, you know, every other day something happens to make us realize we wouldn't be able to do this or this would be so different. And I think, I know it doesn't suit a lot of people, and I am very conscious of particularly younger women coming into organizations. Yeah. You want to be able to mentor them. But we've had a couple of new people join the Irish Times, and I have reached out to them on Zoom and said, "Look, let's have a chat." And we've done that kind of thing where, so that there's other ways of connecting. It doesn't mean that thing has to be lost, but I know it's better in real life.
Yeah, it's better in real life. Can I just say, especially for young people, because I remember back at the day when I were a young one, it was a place where you met a lot of romantic partners.
Yeah.
And there was always a bit of excitement around the corner or a little crush you had on somebody in the desk across the way or whatever. I think
tell us more, Kathy. Who are you crushing on?
Nobody at all. I was never had a crush on anyone in my whole life. But I do think that is that young people, say in their early 30s maybe, for whom that might have been a useful connection point for them.
Yeah.
And a way off the ratty dating sites, I think that must be a huge lack for them.
Yeah, but I think the romantic thing, probably I'd be worried about that less. But it's interesting because...
Why? Just because you've got a fella?
No, because I just think work and getting off with someone you're working with, it's just, oh, in my experience, it's horrific.
Oh my goodness. Oh, wow. Tell us more. Yeah.
No, I won't tell you more.
You were out at work though, weren't you, when you met Johnny? You met him
at
work.
That's true. I didn't. Well, I was at work on the beat, on the road, reporting. You know.
Yeah, but there you go. If you were sitting in your room on Zoom, that's true. Wouldn't happen. Yeah.
But what I was more talking about was, it's interesting. This particular one, young woman I'm thinking of, I went out of my way to kind of connect with her because of the fact that we're not in the office. Because I said she's come into this scenario and she doesn't have that kind of thing that you'd have. So I created another scenario of a Zoom group where other people came in to talk to her as well. I'm not trying to blow my trumpet. It's just the point is, it made me think about it much more, the fact that we're not connected. So there's also other ways of mentoring and helping people. She could have been in the office, we could all have been there, and we might not have bothered to kind of bring her for coffee or to do something because we're all so busy with our stuff.
Well, you're a bit of a role model then for reaching out to her like that. I hate that expression, but it actually means
reaching
something.
I've said it a couple of times. Sorry.
No, it does mean something in this context.
Well, I literally
really
felt like
that.
Yeah,
yes.
I did. And I think that's what we have to remember, because it's all very well for me. I'm 50, like I said, but I'm at home and it's all grand. I can do it. But if you're starting out, you're in your 20s or even your 30s and you're in a new place and you don't know everyone. So it's just important to remember and to keep an eye on that.
The new Safe Ireland Survivor Fund, in partnership with Airbnb, enables Safe Ireland to contribute to sustainable supports for women and frontline services and to provide focused actions for children. you can play a critical role in helping to protect more women and children from abuse. Donate directly to your local domestic violence service or to the national work of Safe Ireland. Go to www.safeireland.ie for more information.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, well, let's move on to our newsy moment of the year. And I suppose this comes into some of the women of the year that I wanted to talk about. Something that happened very early on in the year was the Mother and Baby Homes report came out. And we've covered this a lot. And you'll see up on my wall there our award that we won from the Law Society for our coverage of the Mother and Baby Homes report. That happened in, I think, January, early February. And we covered it a lot on the podcast. But so my women of the year were actually going to be the women who, I mean, people like Noelle Brown and survivors, people we've had on the podcast like Mary Harney.
Rosemary Adesser.
And also, and then also Maeve O'Rourke, who is about to have a baby, I think, very soon. I imagine it's soon. But she and all her Claire McGettrick on the Clan Project, all of those women, like, this report came out. And I mean, part of me has a lot of sympathy for anyone who's to do a report on the Magdalen Laundries or the Mother and Baby Homes or any of those things that have happened in Ireland, and not just in Ireland, happened all over the place. It's a very difficult task to balance all the rights and people who are involved. But it was just amazing the whole year to see it unfold that, you know, I feel like it seems in balance. They didn't meet the needs of the survivors. They didn't really reflect the experiences that they had. Those people weren't feeling after this report came out that they'd been listened to, that they'd been heard. And I think Roderick O'Gorman has really done, you know, his best to try and listen and to try and make it better. But I feel like, you know, this was the official sort of response to it. And then we had all these amazing women, like I say, Maeve O'Rourke and Claire and everybody else coming up to actually keep pointing out, no, it's not good enough. No, these were human rights abuses. Yes, there was forced adoptions, because that was one of the big glaring things that came out of the report. The forced adoptions weren't that much of an issue. Well, actually, in fact, if women weren't really aware that their babies were going to be taken from them and it all happened very kind of by the by, then that's a forced adoption.
And it was the legal definition of forced. Yeah. I think that's where it all became so difficult, didn't it?
And so I suppose my newsy moment of the year would be that, but also then the many, many, many news stories that came out of it because of people campaigning, grassroots, who knew so much more than it seemed like the authorities either knew or wanted to deal with, you know. And I'm just in awe of all those people, because the amount of research, you know, Mairead Enright, all these incredible people that came on. So, yeah, newsy moment of the year. That report and the fallout, because that bit where one of the authors of the report was in that Oxford University call, and then all those other people were on the call. It was kind of a rolling story. And we've ended the year in a way with the rights of adopted people being a bit more recognised, but there's still a lot more to do, and something that I think we'll continue to cover on the podcast. So that's my newsy moment of the year. Kathy, what's yours?
Actually, mine is kind of a minus. I never, ever want to see a group like NPHET again without a woman on it.
Yeah,
I think I won't say I was offended, but it still amazes me that we had so many magnificent women. Like Catherine Motherway, like Karina Butler, like Gabrielle Colleran, who's been on the podcast many times. people like that. I'm not saying they're all epidemiologists or whatever. They're not. And that it's, I don't know how easy it is to get a public health doctor who's also a woman and who is as well informed as Dr. Holohan or
Ronan Glynn.
But it just looked so strange.
Yeah.
To any eyes, to see this group of men deciding on issues that actually are so pertinent to women.
Yeah.
It still amazes me.
I feel like, why are they not sitting there? There was one recent one where it was about schools and it was about, particularly about parents, and it was about masks on children. Something that obviously men as parents, but also women, have a lot of stake in. And there was 8 men in the room deciding upon that. And I just wonder, the bit where nobody looks around and goes, lads, this is really uncool. I honestly have got to a point, I don't want to see them. I don't want to hear them. I don't want to see them on podiums telling me what to do. I'm getting very like, no, I don't agree. You're not representing half of the people in this country. You're just not telling. I don't care how many degrees you have or how much expertise you have. I'm actually a bit fed up. Like I'm angry about it. And COVID Women's Voices, we should have them as Women of Our Year as well, because they are banging on about it and saying it's not right. And it's not right. And it's not good enough.
It certainly isn't right, because but if we accept that we all have different perspectives to offer, and that voices are important, the expertise goes without saying. You're assuming that everybody's starting from a particular point of expertise, which should be, there should be a standard of excellence, obviously. But from there on, obviously, viewpoints differ as to how particular issues should be dealt with, such as schools closing, such as the filtration of the air in buildings, all of these things. And interestingly, the main voice for the filtration of buildings is
Orla Hegarty, amazing woman.
Yeah.
She speaks so much sense on HEPA filters and all that stuff.
She does. She's an expert in that particular area. And that's what I felt was lacking. Mm. And actually, many medics I've talked to have said that they felt those committees were far too limited. Mm. So it's not just that there's a lack of women.
Yeah.
They just felt they weren't wide enough in perspective.
Mm.
So anyway, I think we've solved that.
No, we've totally sorted that out. Yeah. Okay, let's move it on and make it to more important matters. What did you binge watch this year, everyone? The sigh.
Oh, okay. So the same ones as everyone. Succession.
Yes.
Narcos Mexico, I'm big into.
Narcos Mexico?
Really good on Netflix. Nice. Spanish language one. Really good. 9 Perfect Strangers. Kind of all the same ones that everybody watched. But one
I haven't seen any of those.
Oh, really?
I'm so excited. Influencer there for us.
There you go.
Everyone's watching. No, because Suzanne's just been watching Selling Sunset.
I think that's my reality TV show diet is pathetic. I don't know any of these shows, and that was really shown to me on that Gals Pals holiday when I went on the amazing repertoire of.
What's
9 Perfect Strangers? 9 Perfect Strangers was the one at Nicole Kidman, and she is.
Oh, yeah.
It was a book. It was, I have to say, it was fairly fluffy and a bit silly, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was on Amazon, and she was like basically the leader of this wellness retreat. And these 9 Perfect Strangers come to this wellness retreat, and they're all different.
And anyway, is it a comedy or is it
no
okay. dark?
Took itself quite seriously, but it was very good. It was I enjoyed it. We were kind of. It was very blatant, like, oh, at the end of the episode, you'd have to be like, oh, let's just watch the next few minutes of the next episode so we know what's going to happen. Yeah. But I really enjoyed that. But something a little bit more offbeat. And now I feel ridiculous because you didn't watch any of those. And I thought, oh, they're really obvious. Everyone's going to watch those. But something that I would highly recommend on Amazon Prime is Unreal. I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
It's this, there's a couple of seasons of it there, and it is really quite dark, and it's like a behind the scenes of a reality TV show, and it's based on the producers of a reality TV show.
Oh.
And the reality TV show is sort of like a Bachelor kind of type affair.
That sounds like
sounds right up
and
my
it's amazing because it shows like the Machiavellian sort of tactics that the producers go to manipulate the contestants into
the
doing
role
what
of a
they
producer.
Want. Yeah, but it was just it's really interesting. I'm still watching it, and it's one I watch on my own.
Yeah,
so it's my story.
I'm actually loving this because it's like I'm making a list here to watch.
I think
Christmas.
You'd really enjoy that, Suzanne. It's really good, but it's so that's kind of what I was watching a lot. So the aforementioned stuff like Succession, Narcos. That's what me and my husband watch.
that. And then this is my stories.
Your own private binge.
Yes, exactly. It's very good. Unreal.
Suzanne, what about you? A bit of selling something, I imagine.
Do you know what?
A bit of Real Housewives. Like, I'm not trying to stereotype you here, but, you know.
It's all a spade is spade. Well, like, highlight of my summer is obviously Love Island.
Yeah.
Me and Roisin are the only two who watch Love Island here.
I don't tell anyone. Shush.
I tried to do it this year to get in the gang, and I was like, "Guys, I can't do it."
I know.
You can't do it. Why not?
I just can't.
Go on,
Kathy.
Don't watch Love Island. Kathy's not watching Love Island,
but it's such an investment.
I actually can't.
Of your time.
I tried. Yeah. I tried for the sake of one of my daughters.
Yeah.
Because we had been told that this was a fantastic. She's joking. They say that mums and daughters bond. Over this. I said, "Yeah, mums and 13-year-old daughters."
My sister bonded with her team. Really? So yes.
I don't say I can't deal with it because I think I'm any better than you. No, that's not it at all. It's because it's such a commitment. It's every single night.
Honestly, it is an hour each night. I roped Paddy into watching it though. And he'd have it on like before me even coming into the room. So there's that. Do you know, I think my favourite show of the whole year was Squid Game though.
Mm. Well, I haven't watched that and I refuse to watch it. What is wrong with me? I just can't bear to even turn it on.
Why?
Because I just heard it's really violent and I said I don't want to watch that.
No, it is very violent.
It's right, and I don't understand. It's in there in my head as this thing and I haven't gone into it.
It's layered, Roisin. It's layered. Right.
It's also quick violence. Like it doesn't...
That's okay then.
It doesn't dwell on it, you know?
It's shocking. Quick violence. I'm sorry. If I tell you what I've spent a year watching, you're going to go under the table. Because I actually can't... My whole energy is devoted to finding things that will not upset me.
Yeah. Exactly.
So basically what I have been watching, The Morning Show.
Oh, yeah.
Ted Lasso.
Yes. I knew you were going to say Ted Lasso.
Pure love and fun and gets a bit dark, but nonetheless fantastic. The Chair. Have any of you seen The Chair with Sandra Oh?
Oh, yes. That's brilliant.
It's about campus politics and it's wonderful. Yeah. White Lotus.
I was going to say it. I couldn't remember the name, but I was called the White Orchid in my head. Well, that was brilliant. That was one of my favourite things this year.
And also reflective of the pandemic and that it was very deliberately all filmed in one place in order to get around pandemic rules. Call My Agent, the fourth series. Mm. As you can see, I've been very busy. But I wasn't not sad and reflective in that I did watch Mayor of Easttown. Which
I haven't watched it yet. Kate Winslet. I mean, that sounds amazing.
Kate Winslet is a chameleon. She is just... remarkable in it, and it's really that is a fantastic watch. Also, I would be binge watching Dopesick. I would I am watching it, but they're dropping it by the week in the old traditional
Cassie,
way.
Did you just say dropping?
I just did. Did I sound cool there
dropping
for a second?
Dropping it the old way.
Dropping it the old fashioned way.
How meta, as our friend Mark Zuckerberg would say.
I know, and Dopesick, I don't know. I mean, somebody persuaded me to watch it because I just thought that sounds really awful. It's a tale of people falling victim to OxyContin addiction in the States. And I just thought, I do not want to watch that. Mm. But in fact, it is fantastic.
It's on the list.
Have you read the Patrick Radden Keefe book?
I haven't, but it's on my list.
I'm halfway through it. It's unreal. Yeah, and I'm going to watch Dopesick after I've read this. Just, you know,
that's a great way to do it because I'm watching it with my daughter Sarah, who has read the book, and she's able to say, "Well, actually, she's able to say this is actually what happened there." But as far as I can see, this is obviously fictionalized. Yes, the characters you're not meant to recognize them, but it's really you really do get a sense of the absolute devastation caused by this Sackler family.
So we're going to move on to music quickly and then we're going to just talk about our hopes for the year and things that are happening in 2022. I don't know if you did your Spotify Unwrapped. I don't think you did, Kathy, but I did mine. The theme of my music was wistful and happy. That was the two words. And Taylor,
of course.
Obviously. I have my ukulele there. I was going to give you, we might finish the episode with a tiny snippet of All Too Well, the 10 minute version, but I'll just do a little bit of it.
I brought my harp to the party and no one asked me to play a joke. She actually does have a ukulele hanging on her wall.
I did. So Taylor came top of my list. Anybody else? What music have you been listening to?
I've Billie Eilish, Lizzo, oh, yeah. They're top of mine. Billie Eilish, because both me and my 8-year-old son, yeah, we both like her. Lovely. But Harry and Alfie, my two kids, they skew mine. Baby Shark is in there. Oh, the original soundtrack to Madagascar. Like, well, 2-year-olds like it. Madagascar. They do the fantastic moves. It's very cute. But no, I listen to a lot of Roisin Murphy's back catalogue. I don't know. I just was on a Roisin Murphy buzz this year, and also Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, I know. She's going to be playing in Fairview Park in June. My kids just said to me today, "Mom, if you don't get her on the women's podcast."
I couldn't cope if we got her. Jennifer,
do you know what she just said to me today? I can't believe I grew up in Fairview Park. I can't believe Olivia Rodrigo is going to be walking on the paths I've walked on all my life.
Tom.
How poetic.
That is
beautiful. Olivia, again, if you're listening.
I think Olivia would be impressed by that.
She's so big now. She's only 18, right? So she's written these incredible songs. But she has said she doesn't want to skip the step of doing the smaller venue. So her first tour is in Fairview Park, is in all these places, very medium-sized places around the world. Yeah. Instead of just going straight to the Taylor Swift thing, which she's at, you know?
She's fab. And I will say, I should make the point that she is probably more aimed at Joy and Priya than she is at me.
Well, or me, because I kind of tend to that juvenile angsty,
but
you know.
I feel it, you know,
her song Driver's
License, she wrote when she was 17. And as soon as I listened to it, I was like, every boy that broke my heart.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember you.
But you know what I mean? That's why it is for us. It's for us that we were then. So she's incredible.
Great. She's
you
brilliant.
Need to listen to her.
Oh, I do. I need to hear of her first.
Well, you've heard of her now.
Yeah, Rodrigo. Been quite
she's
a,
playing
quite
in Fairview Park. She'll probably be up at the Costa Fish and Chip shop getting her afters after the gig. It'll be grand.
If she's any sense.
I'm so glad you mentioned her, because we just had a big, very heated, involved conversation. Mom, she's going to be in Fairview.
Emotional.
Yeah, it was. What about you, Suzanne, for music?
This one really surprised me, because I didn't think I listened to her that much. Dua Lipa.
Oh, yeah. Dua Lipa.
You know her. I don't know. That really, really surprised me when I saw this.
You're obviously got a Dua Lipa thing going on.
I know.
Is Paddy listening to Dua Lipa on your Spotify?
No. I don't know if any of you do this, but if I like a song, I listen to it over.
Oh, that's Johnny. That's why half of my bloody Spotify Unwrapped was the Fontaines DC, like Dublin City Sky. Johnny just listens to it over and over again.
Until I absolutely hate it. But if I just, so I think I only know about two of her songs. This is the problem. But I listen to them so much over and over that she made my top artist.
Did any of you see a series called Money Heist? It's in Spanish. It's actually, the first series is fantastic, but watch it in Spanish with subtitles. It's really wonderful. But there's a song in it which is an old Italian partisan song, which I couldn't stop listening to. So it's the one that comes up number one every time I go into Spotify.
And you play it again.
It's just the most beautiful song, and it's actually quite emotional, even though it's in Italian. It's wonderful. The other song that I love this year, and it's a song as opposed to an album, was, you know, Tula McKay. Her version of N17 is actually scorched into my heart and my brain. It's just wonderful. I loved The Sour Doctors. I remember that song first time around, and I still love it. But my goodness, she did something so different.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to get to our final part, because I had never really heard of Tola, or I'd heard of her a little bit. And then I remember, I'll never forget New Year's Eve, sitting up in the sitting room here and suddenly hearing this song in a way I'd never heard it before, but totally a song I'd always loved, and going, who the heck? And we had her on the podcast in the Big Nights In during the year. I went to see her in Vicar Street. I can urge anybody who gets a chance to have a ticket for Tola McKay. She is a superstar and is part of that new young generation of Irish musicians that is just world class, and it's so great to see it happening. But speaking of New Year's, we're coming up to, I just thought we'd end by like talking about what we're looking forward to covering maybe more on the podcast, what's coming up ahead, and maybe some stuff that personally that we're looking forward to as well. So Jennifer, kick it off there.
Yeah, I think the challenge to Roe v. Wade in the US is one we're going to keep our eyes firmly on into 2022. It sort of feels like ever since repeal here in Ireland, there's been this frightening rollback on abortion rights in many parts of the world, the US, Poland, parts of Central America. just as a good reminder that we have to remain really vigilant here when it comes to our own laws, and a review of the law is going to be published pretty soon and we'll have to keep a close watch on that. So I think keeping our eye firmly on the developments in abortion rights and them being squashed basically in other parts of the world, that's what I really want to
because we were kind of going to do villains of the year, weren't we? So the legislators in Texas, would that be one of your villains of the year?
It certainly would have been. And also, as almost a sideline to that, and even though it's not, it just proves that the Trump era has not gone away. It is very much still in there, and all his lieutenants are still in there. I mean, that law in Texas saying that private citizens can inform on people who are who have assisted
bounty
with
hunters,
abortion.
Basically.
Yeah,
it is actually. I still find it incredible. Mm. I think I'm dreaming when I hear about it, and I don't know. I mean, I'm quite sure the Supreme Court, stacked as it is with Trump's choices. It really is scary. You're quite right, Jenny. I think we need to keep an eye on that and be prepared to fight.
And I would like to talk about Afghanistan a bit because it's something we haven't managed to do a podcast on yet, but we have very much plans to. The Taliban coming in, the fact that that country was, okay, obviously not as progressive as you'd love it to be, but it had moved on considerably. And then the Taliban coming in, I mean, girls immediately not being able to go to school or university, women who were in jobs in the government completely being sidelined. It's disgraceful and scary, and it's something we'll be covering on the podcast this year, definitely. Women from Afghanistan who are in Ireland, women who are still in Afghanistan. And I suppose, along with that, Saudi Arabia, Dubai, just there's so many places. Like we have so much here in terms of feminism, in terms of our rights and how things have gone on. But in so many parts of the world, women are completely downtrodden and are, you know, still oppressed in so many ways. And we'll be looking at those and, you know, trying to keep it more of an international view. And again, going back to what you said about lovely Ellen, who we had on the podcast, I'd love to feature more travelling women on the podcast as well.
And I think, can I just say that if I were thinking of something for this next year, it would be, you know, there are the number of travellers in Ireland I always think how small the numbers are. There are 25,000 travellers in this country. That's fewer than 5,000 families. Wow. And I don't know why we can't get to grips with this. I thought Ellen was a fantastic, she was a beacon in many ways. She signifies that there is diversity even within that community.
Yes.
For all the awful stereotyping of that community, there are many different viewpoints in it, and people who don't want to speak out, who are leading perfectly normal, nice lives, but who can't speak out because they fear the stigma and all of that sort of thing. And I just feel maybe the podcast could do something next year to reflect that diversity within that group.
Definitely.
It's a different conversation we're having now. It's a really important one. Anyway, I'd like to continue it on Afghanistan. And like you say, Jenny, the abortion issue as well is something we'll always be talking about. Before I do my little snippet of All Too Well, because you're not getting away with it. And Jenny, you can edit it out if you want. It's still,
I would never.
Thank you.
I would. Two of us have the skills.
What are our wishes for the year? And let's be very kind of, you know, blue sky about it. And if we could wave a magic wand, what would we like to happen for ourselves and for politically in the world for women, I suppose?
I'll start. My sister is pregnant.
Woo!
And she's had two boys. And so she's hoping for a girl. So our wish for...
But if it turns out to be a boy, you are so loved.
Yes.
Yes.
So me and my sister come from a long line of older brothers. So one of my wishes for next year is that she
has
a new niece. Yes.
Okay.
Or happy with the boy.
That's fair enough. Jennifer?
I suppose like to be really serious about it on a global level. I hope the hell we get to grips with this bleeding pandemic, because I think there is... So many people haven't talked about it much.
I love that. Actually.
I know. I'm sorry to bring it in the end.
It was the year of the vaccine, though. It's true. We didn't even mention it.
I'm going to do two things. So I really hope that we get to grips with it, because there's been just unimaginable sadness, such loss. There's been so many people who have lost so much this year, and are in the last nearly 2 years now at this stage. And because we're in this permanent state of crisis mode, those people haven't got the chance to deal with all of the baggage yeah. that goes with that. So if we could just please turn a corner in the pandemic this year
yeah.
and so those people can find some peace or begin to heal mm. in some way, that'd be great. Then on a totally personal level, on my globe, I would hope that my 2-year-old starts sleeping through the night again like he used to, and also that he would just like kindly stop picking up every single ailment that comes through his preschool door, because sorry. If those two things happened, I think I could actually take over the world wow. like fully.
You and Jacinda Ardern, yeah. you could be out there.
I'm brilliant. Coming for you, Jacinda.
Okay. that's great. So Kathy, what about you personally?
Not getting a night's sleep actually, no. it must be oh. really yeah. horrendous, and I do remember that from my own
you never
day,
forget.
Days. You, no, you don't forget that. I have kind of a sort of a macro point to make, which is part of the problem, I think, with the past couple of years has been this constant drone, I suppose, of complaining and carping and people throwing out one sentence put downs that sound profound and informed, but actually mean nothing, because they're really opposing something rather than helping. And I have a big problem with that, because all then you hear is this babble of this awful babble of complaint. And I know a lot of people who have switched off mainstream media for that reason. And I think that's a real problem if people aren't keeping up with mainstream media. And because I'm proposing a solution to this, I would refer you to the Irish Times, I think this year, I'm pretty sure it was this year, who published a whole weekend supplement devoted to the problems of Dublin City. Mm. And there were a variety of writers involved in it. But part of the brief was, in every case, after their lengthy stating their case of complaint, they had to provide solutions. And I suppose that's where I'm coming from now. I would like people maybe to comment less in a kind of a full stop sort of way and think more about the people who are going to be reading that comment are listening to that and saying, OK, here's what I think should be done, but having first informed themselves. I just think there's a lot of stuff being thrown around out there that actually would do your head in. Solutions all the way.
Well, I think that's a great way to end it. And obviously, it goes without saying that we want to also wish everybody who listens to this podcast and supports us and emails us and gets in touch over social media or whatever, to thank them very much for their engagement, because we wouldn't be able to do it without you. And you mentioned our 500th episode. I mean, who would have thought we'd be here 500 episodes later, that we would have such amazing, especially in the pandemic as well. I feel like we've even been able to reach people, to use that terrible phrase again, in a different way, and that we can keep going. And we'd love, my hope, I suppose, for 2022 is that listeners get in touch, tell us what's important to them, tell us the things that we can cover and the things that they want to see reflected, because we're all evolving and learning. We're changing all the time. The podcast is very different maybe to what we started out in, except with the same aspiration. We're just trying to reflect the lives of women. And one great episode, just to finish this review of our year, one great episode for me was when we had Jackson Katz and Ryan Hart on the podcast talking about masculinity, talking about men getting involved in helping the issue of domestic violence, which has been so important during the pandemic and has been one of the things that has been so detrimental to women during the pandemic, the rise of that. And I feel like I'd like on the podcast to be talking more to men in a way, which might sound counterintuitive considering it's the women's podcast. But I do feel there are so many men out there now who know that the patriarchy also doesn't serve them. And let's just keep in touch with that movement and make sure that we keep looking at it. So you're lots there. To look forward to. I just want to thank you three guys for coming to my house and for the chats. This has been wonderful.
This has been lovely.
It's been really nice. Having us.
Real don't treat. Do you want to hear a bit of All Too Well?
Oh, come on. We need to hear it now.
You weren't even going to ask me. We're just like going to let it go, weren't you?
Suzanne, if it's cooked, Suzanne did it. Not me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I walked through the door with you. The air was cold, but something about it felt like home somehow. And I left my scarf there at your sister's house, and you've still got it in a drawer even now. Oh, your sweet disposition, my wide-eyed gaze, we're singing in the car, getting lost upstate. autumn leaves falling down like pieces into place, and I can picture it after all these days. And I know it's long gone and the magic's not here no more, and I might be okay, but I'm not fine at all. 'Cause here we are again in that little town street. You almost ran the red 'cause you were looking over a mirror. Wind in my hair, I was there, I remember it all too well. Yeah.
There you go. Woo! Yay!
Happy New Year!
Happy, Happy New Christmas! Year.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Yay.
Well done.
That's all we have time for. Thanks to all the members of the team, to Kathy Sheridan, to Jennifer Ryan and to Suzanne Brennan. And thanks again to all of you for sticking with us this year and for all our new listeners as well. And we hope we'll be able to bring you some great episodes in 2022. Now, do let us know what you thought about the conversation. Get in touch with us on social media at IT Women's Podcast or Instagram or Twitter. And we're on email, thewomenspodcast@irishtimes.com. And that's it from me. The podcast is produced by me, Roisin Ingle, by Suzanne Brennan and Jennifer Ryan, with JJ Vernon on sound. Mind yourselves, have a very happy and safe new year, and I will talk to you next time.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.